Just a week ago today, Sue and I were headed to Mendota to see her mom, celebrate her birthday, and we decided to take Sadie and Abby. Sadie and Abby are our granddaughters, and to give Becky a break, so she rode with John and Becca. So we had the two girls thinking, this will be fun. They're not here today, so I can say this. It was chaos. It was utter chaos. And Sue was, she was just about, it was almost pull the car over time, you know. But she was pulling out every stop she could. And she says, okay, girls, you want to sing? Yeah, we want to sing. And I had my iPad there, or my iPod. I don't have an iPad. I would take one if somebody, no. My iPod. And she says, okay, Baba, play a song. And so I'm driving, but I just push play. And she says, okay, now everybody sing along. Well, it was that gal singing, Be Thou My Vision, which we sang this morning. And so Sue heard the intro, and she goes, okay, it's Be Thou My Vision. And then she started singing in Gaelic. So it was, okay, everybody sing along. And it was this, bah. We couldn't understand. And she looks at me, and she's, it's like panic. What are we going to do? But we pulled out other stops, and we didn't succeed. Somehow, in the hosting of the Bass Kids, I don't remember exactly how this happened, but I had Anne in the car, and maybe, I think, Inigo with me, and we were just listening to music on my iPod, same deal, and the song by Bobby Darin, his theme song, Beyond the Sea. Somewhere, beyond the sea, yeah, okay, so you got it, yeah. And so I said, hey, this is perfect because you live somewhere beyond the sea. You know, it's a beautiful song. So that became our theme song. Seriously, we listened to it dozens of times and loved it. This morning, I received this from Anne. Did you play it?
Stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing.
Hi. We are in Madrid. The dream was really good.
Yes.
We have a sleep, we have seen movies. Eat.
No dream movies.
No shakes.
Nope.
And we are at the retired, but we are okay. We are Madrid.
We miss you.
Yeah, a lot. We love you.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything. And I don't know.
We'll see you in Ibiza.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Awesome.
We love you.
We miss you.
See you later. Adiós.
Okay. But there's yet another one. Now, I am starting a new series called Walking on Water. You're going to see something I described a few weeks ago, and that is the capital city of the Basque Country is Donostia. And above Donostia is a statue of Christ, much like Rio de Janeiro has that statue of Christ. And if you recall, now, these are bright kids. I mean, Anne is 15 years old, and she is remarkably bright. But one night at my house, I asked those kids, who's that statue above Donostia? They didn't know. Because it's kind of like what Ben said. They're so conditioned that the fact that that's the creator of the universe up there just is lost on them. It's a relic to them. It's just a relic. You'll see that statue here, but keep praying for these kids because some amazing, amazing, amazing relationships are being forged. And somewhere beyond the sea we will we'll see what the Lord does. But it's going to be cool. So here's another one from them. Let her roll.
The views we have from here. Look, that's San Sebastian.
You can see there are a lot of clouds.
Yeah.
It has been raining.
Bad weather here.
But, yeah.
No, like that. So, totally different. And, you know, here is cold. And
you have to wear jackets and everything.
Yes.
So.
I have to say that Andrea is in her town
because his family,
is like in vacation, so
celebrating her birthday and everything.
She can come here today, so she wants to say hello to everybody. And I don't know, today we are in San Sebastian, maybe another day we are in Andrea and another day in Bilbao, so we are going to try to record this to you and
show
maybe we are another day in Oñati, we don't know.
Or Inside Out with you.
Yes. Gorka, you know. Today is his
birthday,
so
we have sent him some messages, he has answered, so it was good.
Yes. And I don't know.
We have met to make this video and now we are going to go to the cinema to see a film.
Yes.
A Spanish film.
Yeah.
So you can see that we continue keeping in touch with each other.
And we are going to keep in touch with with the other Basque students. it's like a quadrilla we have here.
Another quadrilla from from America.
Yeah.
I have to say that Alberto is in Jaca, so he's from San Sebastian, but he's now here now.
So we can. We can hang out with him today. And we have to say that we feel that we miss you. We are saying all the time, but it's what we feel. So, and we love you. But it's the truth. So it's the way it is. that's in your sentence.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. And now, if you want to watch San Sebastian, we can show you. That's Santa Clara,
the island, the aquarium.
We have the aquarium there. And this one is the beach. This one is La Concha. Yeah. This one. So, see you. We are going to try to keep in contact with all of you, and I don't know what more.
Maybe we will see you in Andorra or in Bilbao.
Yes, we are going to try. So
we are going to go there for sure, but
yeah.
I don't know if we are going to be able to make some other videos.
Yeah. Goodbye. Have fun this summer.
That's it.
And
see you.
Bye. See ya.
None of those kids knew each other, which is amazing because she said, we're forming a quadrilla. Now you see, this is our prayers being answered. Because what we have prayed is that a quadrilla, which is their very official and an intentional life together group that's forged when you're a young child, and you carry it through the rest of your life. These are the people you commune with. Our prayer is that a Christian quadria would form that would be the first Bass-speaking church in history. 4 million Bass, no Bass-speaking church. So this is our prayer. Continue to pray for this because they really trust us. They trust who we are and what we've said. And we're going to continue to pray for and minister to and connect with them. I spent a good deal of time at the convention not listening to the speeches, which is how I went through college. But it's but talking to Jeff Shadowin and Mary, his wife, about kind of what's next. And there are a lot, and Hal Lehman, who's the head of All Missions. And I think the Lord has some new things for us, for those of us who've adopted these kids. So, but for right now, did you notice that she said, "That's it," several times? Justina, would you explain how you tried to help her with "That's it"? It wasn't sure, it was sure, she'd say. Well, seeing them just reawakens in me the wonder of all that. And if this year you felt like, you know, maybe we could do that, maybe our family could do that, hold on to that feeling. Hold on to that feeling, okay? Because it was spectacular. I look at that picture of the bay there, and my first thought is, they came here from there. Now, there is the Pyrenees Mountains, which are just beautiful mountains, and that coastline, which is a beautiful coastline. And they loved it here? They did. Why? Because of the life they had here. Because of living with us, they loved it. They loved it. So we did. So I just want to thank everyone. We did some things really, really well. I told Hal and Jeff both that I can't think of any, from the kids' side, I can't think of a single negative, no drama from the kids' side at all. And that begins with our praying for this whole thing, for matching kids with families, for getting the right kids in our church, and so on. We begin praying about that early on, and it makes all the difference in the world. And when I look at that, I see that statue of Christ, and I see that water. And there's a part of me that sees a whole city, which is an ancient city. They speak the most ancient spoken language in the world. Okay? It's not Chinese. It's Euskera. And there's a part of me that wants all the antiquity that surrounds that place to awaken from its slumber towards Christ. And for that statue to come alive. And to walk down off that mountain and to walk across that bay and have people scared spitless because of what just happened. He will come alive in that land. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to happen according to His dictate. But we are charged with the beauty of sharing His love with people who have no idea. Can I have the first slide, please? Well, as I said, we're beginning a new series called Walking on Water. It'll be several weeks. If you'll notice in the program, and Ben alluded to this too, this very familiar story, which is told in three of the Gospels, I am certain that there are depths to this story that I've never plumbed. That there is so much to this story that I've never considered. And we're going to try to dig deep into this story. And as always, I would like you on your own to engage this story apart from church. Study it. Go to a commentary. Go to an online commentary if you don't have any book commentaries. Think of all that this story could be saying to you. Because this is a story that it's not hard to identify with. Ben kind of laughed about how we kind of like to pick on the fact that Peter over and over again goofs up. Yeah. One of the reasons I love him so is I feel like he and I could walk arm in arm down the street and say, I know how it feels. I know who you are. I am you. You are me. So there's so much to this story that we will be able to apply to our lives. There's so much of this story that applies to what we call the history of salvation. That we'll be able to see that God used this story and even created this story to set up and complete the salvation story of Jesus. So there's a lot here, a lot more than I'll ever be able to plumb, as I say. And I do want you to make sure at some time you read the poem by Madeline L'Engle that I put in the program. That would be a good poem to cut out and put on your refrigerator, because it has much to do with this, with the essence of what we're going to talk about today in this story. So, yeah, there we are, trying to walk on water. Have the next slide, please. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Let's go to Matthew 14. In the process of this series, we will read all three gospel accounts. Now, before we read this, I want us to look at what is ahead of this in chapter 14. The first thing we note is the death of John the Baptist. And I really believe that what I'm going to go over here that precedes the walking on water story is part of the walking on water story. Okay? That there is a real context for what happens here. John the Baptist is the person of whom Jesus said he is the greatest born of woman. Of course, he was excluding himself. But if you ever want to know who's the greatest person who ever lived apart from Jesus, it's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had shaken things up in preparation, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was the necessary prophet, voice of God, to prepare the people for Messiah. Before Messiah could come, the voice crying in the wilderness had to come saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was a relative of Jesus. And he was a soulmate of Jesus. But lest we ever think that these guys were weaklings, let us note, both of them were so radical that they were executed. Both of them were such a threat that they had to be silenced. Both of their silencings were mysteriously part of God's plan. Nonetheless, the death of John the Baptist, and in case you don't know, he was beheaded as a request from a woman, give me his head on a platter. His death upsets his followers and the followers of Jesus. It upsets Jesus. It marks, and this is why I say mysteriously, it's a part of things. It marks the end of his time and a great ramping up of Jesus' ministry and presence. There was some confusion, if you know. Maybe John's the Messiah. And John even got confused when he was in prison. Come on, Jesus. What's happening? Are you or are you not? A very interesting tension developed here. But when John dies, Jesus knows everything now has been ramped up. We have a martyr in our movement. We have a martyr, and I love him. And so, here's what we have. We have the death of John. Now, look at verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He had to sort this out. He had to commune with the Father. When I am dead and gone, and you say, what did Pastor Dave teach us? And you'll say, I don't remember much. Remember this, that Jesus asks us to live our lives the same way he lived his, which is this, by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Spirit of God that is in this room right now, that is in your being when you trust him, that is how Jesus lived. And so in this case, he hears this tragic news. He knows now that the game has changed inexorably and according to the Father's will. It has changed. But what does he do? He goes off to a desolate place. A couple weeks ago, we were so blessed to have Dave and Dan Getz do the Helmsman music for us. If you were here, you know that it was a singular moment in our church's history. I really believe that. It was one of the most profound moments I've had in this building. Yesterday, I spent about a half an hour talking to their dad at the convention. And he told me an interesting thing. Now, Dave, whom many of us know very well, Dave is a performer when he walks in the room. And he doesn't even think I'm performing, but he is. He's just so out there with his personality. But Dan, his brother, I'd never met until that day. And so I said to Mark, his dad, who's a doctor in the Peoria area, I said, tell me about Dan. He said, Dan is deep waters. Dan is really deep waters. Well, what do you mean? Then he tells me some things, but he said this. Dan is so disciplined about getting alone with God that he does it all the time. Now, Dan's a junior at U of I. He said, having Dan home this summer has been interesting because I'll say, where's Dan? And Ruth, Dan's mother, will say, look up in the tree. And he'll say, I go out and look in the tree, and Dan is at the top of the tree, meditating, reading his Bible. Dan, I guess they live along a creek. So Dan has forged out a little campsite for him alone. And some nights he doesn't come in because he's down there being alone. And he's not a loner, but he has to be alone with God. He understands something that Jesus modeled for us. if we want to escape the pressure, and think of the pressure that's on Jesus when the crowds are just chasing him, we need to do what he did. We need to get alone with God and listen. Because you know, or no, we don't know. We can assume something here. We can assume that this stabbed him in the heart, and he said, Father, we got to talk. We got to talk about this. And so he gets away. Now, we pick it up here. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, I believe that this does mark a turning point in his ministry where John is gone and he knows now that the intensity is just going to continue to grow in his own life, his own mission. And there is an ache in our hearts when we lose a loved one. And when we lose a loved one, sometimes we have a talk with ourselves about how we're not going to waste time. We're not going to waste effort. Sue and I have had a year that we just can't understand. On Friday, a relative died. We have had in our friends and family since January 1st, 15 deaths. And do you remember that I said to you that Sue said on January 1st, and she's never done this in her life, she said, the Lord is telling me that this is going to be a year of grief. She did. And I certainly didn't dismiss it because she never has made these pronouncements before. And oh my, and she and I are just saying, Lord, we're tired of it. I stood up here last week having just learned at 10 o'clock that my brother-in-law had just been life-flighted to St. Francis from a severe car accident. And thankfully, he's going to live. But it has been a year of grief. And when grief strikes, there's a paralyzing effect and there's a motivating effect. And let's notice that Jesus was not paralyzed. No doubt he dealt with it in those moments when he got off with the Father, but he's motivated. And now, it's interesting that it says he was moved with compassion. Do you understand that he grew? Jesus, the God-man, grew. He wasn't a robot. He wasn't a God automaton. He was a person. 100% God, 100% man. And he grew in compassion. Does that encourage you? Are you compassionate enough yet in your life? No. You can grow. He did. He understands. He will encourage us in that. So he does this. And the disciples are noticing something that many of us disciples would notice, and that is you get hungry. One of the things that encouraged me about Lynn is I watched him scarf a couple of meals post-heart attack, and I think he's going to be just fine. And he would say, I feel so bad that I'm eating this in front of you. And we didn't feel bad at all. He offered to share it. We were going to do that. We need to eat. And the disciples knew that these people were going to need to eat. But Jesus now, again, ramping it up, says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And now it's time for a lesson in his divinity. The miracle of the fishes and the loaves. Well, this sets things a-buzzing, of course. And I believe you probably know what happened there. Interesting that the death of John the Baptist, now we have this enormous crowd, thousands, and he feeds them, and then he needs to get away. So let's look at verse 22. And so begins our story. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. I love that little phrase, while he dismissed the crowds. Think about Jesus Christ giving you your summary of the day's events. Think about what he may have said. I don't think it's sin to think, what may he have said? I don't think it's at all wrong for us to think, to try to fill in the blanks. I think one of the things that he may well have done is try to encourage the people to hope in the provision of God. And I'll bet this. I'll bet he said, remember the manna that God provided our fathers in the wilderness? I just did the same thing. And even though John is the one that records the I am the bread of life, I can't imagine that Jesus didn't use this dismiss the crowd with some encouragement to trust him as that manna. Okay? Let's keep going. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So picture that statue on top of the mountain. Picture a praying Jesus up on top of the mountain. When evening came, he was there alone. Just think of what is going on inside him. Just had devastating news. That was followed by an amazing, manna-providing, God-intervening, supernatural event. Big day. Big day. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. This is the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is very low. Remember I said this about calming the storm. And so the winds can be ferocious and the waves big. And they're out on this boat. Now here's a little clue about something. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. The fourth watch is a Roman soldier's view of time. And the fourth watch of the night begins at 3 a.m. and goes to 6. Third watch is midnight to 3. Second watch is 9 to midnight. First watch is 6 to 9. Okay? So it's between 3 and 6. They have been in the boat probably for 9 hours. I couldn't handle that, friends. I've told you the story of my fishing expedition. But they're not just sick. They're scared. I would be too. It's dark, and they're unable to control their boat. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, here's what I've asked myself concerning this. He goes up, and he's alone with the Father. And I have to believe this, that the Father said, son, you're going to walk across the sea to the guys tonight. I'll hold you up. I think that's what happened. We're going to show them a follow-up to what they witnessed this afternoon. And it is intended to reap something in their hearts, which it does. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. In fact, in the Greek, it says it is a specter. And we know that word specter. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Now this it is I is something, friends. What did God say to Moses at the burning bush when he says, who is this? He said, I am that I am. You want to know something? This is essentially, in the Greek, the same thing. Who is that? It's the self-existent God of the universe. It isn't just a simple, it's me. It is I. I am that I am. Do not be afraid. Doesn't he tell us this over and over and over and over and over? I tell you something, friends. I get a phone call from Broman this week, and it's a guy I've never talked to, and he says one of your parishioners has just been brought to the cardiac cath lab. He's had a heart attack. What do you suppose I was? Afraid. What do you suppose Betty was? I don't know about Lynn. He's so tough. But I imagine that he was like, what's going on here? All of us felt that way, didn't we? We were all concerned for our dear brother and his wife. The Lord understands this. He understands this and he says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And we'll just keep saying it until we go home to be with him. Don't be afraid. Okay? And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Next slide. Walking on the water means risk. One of the things that you're going to hear throughout this series is that God is calling us to risk. To risk our time. To risk our money. To risk our hearts. And to step out of the boat. Why did this story happen? Because until he comes again, he's telling his people, don't be afraid. Step out of the boat. You know, when you're with a big group of Christians, there's, in my heart, an interesting dynamic that takes place. I look around at this crowd, and I just kind of go, this is good. It's good to be with this many believers. It's good to sing and pray and with this many. It feels so good. But you know what? That's not where I live. I don't live in that realm. That's a nice respite, a nice encouragement. But I need to step out of that boat, of that comfort, and get out on the water of where we really live. And to take that risk. I hope that this place is a hospital for you and for your soul, but you don't live in the hospital. Okay? We live out amongst them. And we need to take our faith in Christ to a hurting world. Maybe bring them back to the hospital. Some of you are here because someone brought you back here to this hospital. But more than anything, take them to the healer. Take them to the great physician. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Okay, friends, I'm going to stop there for today. We have communion. Let's go to the next slide. Let's put our glasses on. No, I'll do this. When we cry out to the Lord, save me, we are saying, rescue me. Have you ever thought about the cross being a rescue? It is. And our cry at the cross of Jesus, save me, is a cry for rescue. We'll pick up next week where I left off. But this cry at the cross is a cry that leads us to this table. Because this is where we're reminded, do this in remembrance of me, we're reminded of the rescue. Bob, would you come up and join me, please? As I said on the front of the program, this table of the Lord is open to all who believe. As long as you're not under any kind of church discipline, or as long as there's not something between you and a brother or a sister that needs to be dealt with first, it's open to you. We'll have prayer teams on either side, in that office and in that office. If you need to pray, If you need to thank the Lord for something He did this week, if you need to ask Him to do something for you next week, if you need to do business with Him, either side is a place to do that. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Please pray with me." Bread of life, this one loaf here, multiply this loaf in our hearts that we'll know that we're fully forgiven for all time, once and for all. May we take this humbly, appreciating your rescue. Lord Jesus, I pray in the name that makes the demons shudder, your name. Amen. Amen. We take communion here by intinction, meaning we dip the bread into the cup and we receive it that way. Would those in the prayer and the worship teams come forward first, please? This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. As the worship team leads us in a contemplative song, you come when you're ready.
Rock of ages, declare for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the one from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears for sin could not atone? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, or I die. This fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and
This is from the book of Acts, chapter 20. These are the he here is Paul. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Well, we have a similar situation this morning, and I'm not believing that we will not see their faces again. In fact, I'm praying that we will and that they'll come back. But today, much like the Ephesian church did with Paul, we're saying goodbye to Dominic and Justina. So if you come up here, guys.